There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the team at 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. It is 5 o'clock on a Tuesday here in the nation's capital. And if it's 5 o'clock, it's Tuesday, and you heard air horns, it's time for a Tischler Tuesday, everybody. Today's edition of Not My Beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
Mitch Tischler, co-host of the Beltway Football Podcast from Monumental Sportsnet. Mitchell, how are we doing on this Tuesday?
Oh, we're doing great. As long as this team keeps winning and this offense keeps humming, we need to keep firing up those air horns.
Yeah, I mean, it's just an air horn kind of town at this point. Everyone's partying, everyone's having a good time. But Mitchell, I did dare ask the question for our Vibe Check Tuesday segment to the fan base that I will start asking you as well. I went there. I went full sports talk radio host, and I dared ask, is this team contenders?
If you're asking me to answer the question right now, I would say yes. But we'll know a lot more after Sunday. I mean, each time that this team has played, you know, a team that's kind of a step up in competition, they've raised their level. And to be fair, I think we thought the Browns defense was going to bring a little more towards Jaden Daniels and this offense and be able to slow him down a little bit. And, of course, that didn't happen. And so as much as I want to talk about the vaunted Ravens defense and how good of a team it is, the Ravens are actually Super Bowl contenders. They've proven that over the years. Lamar Jackson is an MVP. We know what kind of team they are. This will be a great litmus test for the Washington Commanders, for Jaden Daniels, for Joe Witt Jr., for this entire team to kind of figure out where they stand.
No, I totally agree. And I think, like, just functionally, because they're 4-1, you get to that point from a record standpoint, you're obviously in the mix for contending for your division, contending for a wild card spot. Are you a Super Bowl contender yet? Like, that's a different question. And nobody, you know, we won't know that about anybody for sure until November, December, except for, say, the Ravens, who have been on the verge of it, the Chiefs, who have obviously won it 2 years running. But I do think that, to your point, they have, like, I thought the Cardinals presented some interesting challenges for them defensively. There were obviously other areas to exploit, and they absolutely beat the brakes off them. Cleveland, defensively, there's some stuff there where you're like, hey, this could be a problem. And the fact that they have just absolutely destroyed all comers since week one in Tampa, Mitch, does make me look at this team, I think, differently, even though there is a rookie quarterback in place.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say that this team is Jaden-proof, but I mean, every time they've been faced with something, they've shown out and they've stepped up their offensive game. And I think one of the things I've been most impressed with was, you know, you had the unbelievably efficient offense the 2 weeks in a row against the Bengals and then against the Cardinals. Against the Browns, they struggled a little bit. I mean, you know, midway through that second quarter, you're looking up and you're like, oh man, like, you know, this team isn't really performing quite well on offense, and then they start ripping off big play after big play after big play, and all of a sudden you look up at halftime and they have 24 points, and this game is almost out of reach for the Browns. And so I think the fact that you're seeing this team kind of do it in different ways, you know, we've seen Jaden dominate throwing the football. We've seen the team dominate on the ground. We've seen them, you know, think and dunk their way up and down the field, and then we've seen them, you know, hit big plays. I think speaks to the staying power of what we're seeing on the offensive side, because they're not reliant on one particular thing to make this offense go.
Mitch Tischler, co-host of the Beltway Football Podcast, with us on the Hoffman Show. You mentioned how they did things differently offensively. It wasn't this 70-80% completion percentage, 90% against the Bengals. Jaden was in the mid-50s, but they found big plays. What impressed you or what stood out either in the moment or as you went back and reviewed it that you're like, wow, that's something that's maybe different or the thing that really impressed you the most from what they were able to do offensively?
Yeah, I mean, this Browns defensive line is probably the best defensive line they've played yet so far this season, I believe. And I was just really impressed with the way that Cliff Kingsbury manipulated that defensive line with what he did both in the run game and the pass game. You know, on the left side, you had Brandon Coleman and Cornelius Lucas going up against Myles Garrett, who is one of...
Sounds like we lost Mitch there for a second. Oh, do we got Mitch back? Hello. Oh, no, Anthony's okay. Talking to him on the phone. All right, Mitchell, now we got you. We got you back there?
I got you. The joys of, you know, cell phones in this day and age. But
yeah, modern technology. Saying, telephones.
The Browns have a really good defensive line. I just really liked what Cliff Kingsbury did in terms of trying to trick them and move their eyes. You know, he does a lot of, you know, false pulling with the offensive line. But you look on the outside, just kind of in the pass pro game, and, you know, you have Brandon Coleman, Cornelius Lucas over there on the left side against Myles Garrett, one of the best defensive ends in football. And they sent running backs, they sent tight ends at him, they chipped him, they didn't let him run free. And ultimately, you know, they gave Jaden Daniels the time in the pocket to, you know, to read the defenses and get the ball out. And what's impressive about Jaden is that, you know, when teams bring kind of zero blitzes or extra rushers that you can't account for, ultimately, it's on the quarterback to account for that free rusher. And I think there were four times in that game there were free rushers. He was 2 of 2 for 75 yards passing and 2 of 2 for, you know, 60-plus yards rushing. And he did a great job of neutralizing any sort of pressure that was coming his way. And I think Cliff Kingsbury has just put together an incredible game plan for these guys the first couple weeks of the season.
Mitch, one thing that I also think is worth pointing out for about this offense, and really this is team-wide, but specifically it shows up on a couple of plays offensively in this game. The hustle and the extra stuff that they do, right? Luke McCaffrey on the B-Rob touchdown in the first quarter, blocking for 4 or 5 seconds, and he winds up not only blocking his corner out of the play for long enough to slow-mo break a tackle, but then he blocks him into a pursuing safety, so he gets 2 on that play. Olamide Zaccheaus running down the field, recovering the Eckler fumble on the 50-yarder. When you heard DQ talking about some of that stuff, the hustle, the play style in the offseason, like, were you a believer that it could really lead to results like this, or has seeing it in action changed your perspective at all?
Oh, seeing it in action has absolutely changed my perspective. I mean, every coach talks about that, wanting guys to buy in, whether they're getting the football or not, you know, working their butts off, you know, on plays that aren't necessarily called in their direction. And I think we saw some of the faults when that doesn't happen last year, you know, with the Eric Bieniemy offense, because you had guys who didn't think they were going to get the ball. They weren't coming off the line fast. And then ultimately, you know, one guy not running their route hard or not doing their job, you know, to the nth degree affects the entire play. And, you know, you can talk about culture all you want with Ron Rivera and, you know, previous group. This is the culture that you need and that you want. Last week, you had Terry McLaurin lead blocking on a touchdown run. You know, you mentioned the Luke McCaffrey run, the Olamide Zaccheaus fumble recovery. Brian Robinson is playing super beat up on a hurt knee, and he picks up 2 blitzers on one play that allows Jaden to kind of roll around to the outside and hit Perry for that super long pass. I mean, what's most impressive to me about all of this has been the buy-in from this unit, and particularly on offense, but we're starting to see it a little bit more on defense kind of as I think they're getting more comfortable in the defense. But you're seeing guys that are out there playing hard from the snap to the whistle, and that's not always been the case here in Washington, and it shows you how much of a difference it makes when guys are willing to buy in and be a part of all that.
Right. We just don't remember Austin Ekeler fumbling because they recovered it. And it's like things like that that you become huge, like in the past, oh my God, 50-yard run, we can't even do that right. And all of a sudden you see it happen. And by the way, if he hadn't recovered it, Luke is right there. Brandon Coleman's chasing the play 50 yards down the field. Like John Bates is coming to clean up. Terry's out in front. He doesn't recover the fumble because he's trying to lay a block and get in front of Myles Garrett, who for some reason is 50 yards down the field on a hurt Achilles because he's a maniac. So it's stuff that just adds up, and it's really cool to see. You do mention, though, the defensive side of the ball. They're starting to come together. Logan and I kind of struggled with just how much credit to give them because this Cleveland offense was so horrendously bad. How did you and JP parse it out in terms of like, yeah, they did a great job, but also the test was only so hard against the Browns on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, you take it with a grain of salt because of the team that they're playing. I've seen Deshaun Watson's numbers over the past, 2 years or whatever, and recognized that he wasn't playing well. It wasn't until I got eyes on him for a full 48 minutes that you get a real feel for 60 minutes for a real feel for how broken of a quarterback he is. But you know what? You can only play the team that's in front of you. And there are a couple things that I like that I think we're going to see a little bit more of as we move forward, particularly along the defensive line. I like they had John Allen, Daron Payne, Johnny Newton, and Frankie Louvu lining up as kind of your four D linemen. And those are four dudes that Johnny Newton we're still learning about. But the other three are, trustworthy pass rushers. And I liked when they got into obvious passing situations. It wasn't always, let's get the fastest defensive ends on the field. Let's get the guys who are going to contain the quarterback. And I thought they did a really good job of that last week or 2 weeks ago against Kyler Murray. They did a good job this week against Deshaun, who clearly didn't want to run a whole lot. But that's going to be an important part as you look forward to this Ravens game. I mean, teams have been trying to hem up Lamar Jackson for years and haven't been able to find a way. And ultimately, that Lamar is going to make a couple big plays. It's going to be about limiting those big plays and making sure that, you try and make him as one-dimensional as possible and not let him beat you with his feet.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, Mitchell, we paused the serious football analysis for an investigative story here because I do believe that you were the only one who, outside of me, saw live, although many other people have been asking questions about it, that John Allen and Daron Payne did play rock, paper, scissors on the field to see who stayed on the field after a certain package was called where one of them had to sub out. So we were then at the Daron scrum postgame where Daron told us after very intrepid questions by the two of us that he actually lost and John ran off the field and let him stay on anyway. However, Nikki Javala reported that John thought that he lost. So there seems to be some discrepancy here on what happened. Are you committing right now as the one amongst the two of us that will actually be at practice this week and be in the locker room and conducting interviews to follow up on this story and get the answers that we all crave and must have?
We will get to the bottom of it. I think at the end of the day, it's going to be a he said with it. And, they're going to go along. I think Duran did the right thing by just kind of being like, yep, I won. I'm going to stay on the field right now. But it's funny, you know, that happened in the fourth quarter of the game, and I saw it happen, and I kind of looked at it, and I was like, that can't possibly be what I thought it was. And then, you know, you sit, whatever, three, four seats down from me, and you're like, I think John Duran just played rock, scissors, paper. And I was like, yes, okay, fine. My eyes aren't deceiving me. That is what it is. And it was fun in the postgame locker room to hear John and Duran have a little bit of fun with it. I thought you asked them a great question, finding out who won and who lost. I guess I just assumed that Duran won since he stayed on the field. But
well, I asked what he won with, because I assumed that he won. We did come up with a theory. Anthony, was this your theory yesterday that we came up with, or did was it? Oh, maybe it was Phillips that came up with this. I think it was Phillips, yeah?
Yeah, with Phillips.
Yeah. So as Phillips and I were talking about this yesterday, because it is a shame, Mitch, that Phillips wasn't there, because this is clearly directly in his department.
Yeah.
We think that perhaps they play under different rules, which would be kind of funny because they've known each other for as long, you know, going back to Alabama. They've known each other for a decade, been playing next to each other for a decade. This doesn't feel like something that they have, that this is the first time they've done this. But it does, like, what would make sense is that if Duran says he threw paper and lost, but John says, no, he threw rock and he won, do they not agree on rock, paper, scissors, or rock, paper, scissors, shoot? Because if you go on shoot and John thinks you just go on rock, paper, scissors, then your hand is still in the rock shape. And so if you go on shoot, then Duran throws the paper, but John already thinks that he's lost and he's running off the field. I think we need to investigate that theory, the Phillips theory, if you will, because I think it's a good guess.
I like the Phillips theory. That's pretty good. I think it all happened quickly in the moment, and I think John probably was like, this might not be the best idea for us to be doing in the middle of a football field, and just wanted to get off. But let me ask you this question. I've never played this game where there's not a shoot involved. Are you a non-shooter?
I always try to clarify, because growing up, I had friends that would do it both ways. Hey, Anthony, where are you? Are you a rock, paper, scissors shoot, or are you just rock, paper, scissors?
I'm definitely shoot.
Yeah, I prefer rock, paper, scissors shoot, but every time you take it for granted, someone goes rock, paper, scissors, and then you're waiting on shoot, and they throw down scissors on like the third thump, and you're like, what are you doing? It's rock, paper, scissors shoot.
So what's been fun for me this week is I have always, like a kid, called it rock, scissors, paper.
I did notice that.
And my friends give me a hard time about it all the time, that I'm wrong, and I'm just indignant about it, saying that, you know, you're wrong, I'm right. I didn't know that there was such a fervent following of rock, scissors, paper on Twitter, and that those people would be so enthusiastic to tell me how wrong I am about what I call the game.
I was going to say, Mitch, has anybody told you that you're right?
Yeah, me. Right between my ears, every single time I say it, it says I'm right.
Do you know the origin of how you began to say it differently than everyone else?
I don't know. I'm actually having dinner with my parents a little bit later tonight, and I want to find out whether it's just like a Tischler thing, or whether I just decided that my name was better than the name that is widely accepted elsewhere.
All right. Well, we look forward to the follow-up on both what happened with John and Duran, and the origins of your inverted name for the game.
There's a lot.
I feel like Mitch was going to say something funny there, and then his phone cut out again. Oh, no. We can't lose Mitch twice in one interview. Anthony, you're going to have to pick up the phone and see if he's there. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We do very important investigative journalism, and now Mitch Tischler is back with us. Mitch, what were you going to say about all the follow-up?
Yeah, I was going to say that we've had a lot of investigative journalism around this team and this franchise for a lot of years, but this might be the most important one.
That in Congress, one in 1A and 1B. Exactly. When you have been covering this team for a long time, you've been around this team for a long time, you've been to a lot of big games, and you've been to the rest of them, which is most of them. This is the most important, just purely on the field game for this team since when, in your mind?
To be honest, I started covering the team in 2008, and I think what's a lot of fun is this is the best record they've had since 2008, so it's almost full circle for me through the first five games. Obviously, the playoff games are the biggest games, but there's always so much about getting to the playoffs. They had to win seven straight, you know, to sneak in, and you know, then you're playing the Super Bowl champs when they played the Bucks, or you're playing Tom Brady and the Bucks, or RG3 has a knee injury, you know, so who knows what that's going to look like. I think this is the biggest game that they've played, certainly the biggest regular season game, but the biggest game they've played since I've covered the team, because this is the first time that I've been around the team where there are questions of, hey, how good exactly is this team? Are they good enough to sneak into the playoffs, or are they good enough to actually make some noise? And as Jaden Daniels continues to exceed expectations every step of the way, it's hard to not start leaning towards this is a team that can win real football games when they matter. And so to get a test like this against the Ravens this early in the season is such a good starting point to get a feel for kind of who they are, where they are. So to me, this is the biggest game in the, whatever you want to call it, 16 years that I've been covering this franchise.
Wow. Yeah, I think especially if you take off playoff games, there's a couple of like win and get in games that feel like they have to be mentioned. But I mean, those are quasi playoff games. And a lot of those were in years where like they weren't. Like, even if they made the playoffs, I don't think anyone was scared of them. And so I totally understand what you're saying. I guess my other follow-up question, we'll wrap up with this thought, Mitch, is like, there's a bunch of questions that have been answered about this team. You know, they do certain things far better than we anticipated them doing them. What are the biggest lingering questions for you, and whether they can be answered this weekend against Baltimore, or like the can Cliff still cook like this in November, December question? Like, what are the big things that still need to be checked off for you outside the obvious of health and consistency?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, we've seen when Cliff was in Arizona, him do well early in seasons and then fail to kind of adjust as the season moves on. And I think as we get through this season, that'll definitely be something that I'm keeping an eye on. But for right now, it's got to be on the defensive side of the football. I mean, they've had two straight games where they let up 14 or less. They didn't get beat, you know, too bad over the head by star receivers. You had quarterbacks who are named and, you know, kind of are Lamar Jackson light, I would say, in terms of their want to and ability to scramble and all that. I don't know that the Ravens wide receivers are all that, you know, scary when you think about going down the field, but the combination of Lamar and Derrick Henry in the backfield, this team did a good job, a relatively good job against the run last week, but they've given up a lot of yards between the tackles through 5 weeks. And now you have Derrick Henry coming to town who, you know, almost ran for 200, whatever it was, 2 weeks ago. So I think to me, the questions right now are centered around, can the defense follow up these two good performances with even a decent one? I don't think there's any expectation that they're going to stop the Ravens up and down the field, but are you going to be able to hold them to under 30 points? Are you going to be able to force them to punt a couple times, or, you know, go three and out every once in a while and, you know, give your offense an opportunity where it doesn't have to operate at 100% efficiency to come out with a win?
It's Mitch Tischler, co-host of the Beltway Football Podcast, which you can check out, well, wherever you get your podcasts. It's him and JP Finley. You can also check them out on Monumental Sportsnet's app as well, especially live post-game on Sundays. Mitch, always appreciate it, sir, and we will talk to you next week. Enjoy Baltimore.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it, and I'll be back with some more info on Rock, Scissors, Paper for you.
Excellent. We might even have to have you back on before then. There's certain updates that cannot wait. Appreciate it, and have a lovely dinner with your parents as well.
Thank you.
All right, that's Mitch Tischler, everybody, with us here on The Hoffman Show. When we get back, take command, take Tuesday. Inside, how Jaden Daniels found yet another way to win.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.